Hi there, Greg Van Beek. This is Nancy O'Dell, and I wanted to say congratulations on 500 episodes of Nostalgia Radio Time. That is awesome. And you're also celebrating 10 years. I mean, that's quite the anniversary. Very impressive, Greg. I love me some oldies but goodies.
Once I had a secret love. Ha, I'm Lori Morgan, and if you love pop standards as much as I do, you'll want to tune in each week to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Go, Joe, go!
Hi everyone, this is Katie Couric, and I want to welcome you to one of my favorite programs, Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
I thank you kindly, Ms. Couric, and welcome to program number 616 of Nostalgia Radio Time. We've got a great group of songs gathered up for you this week. Let's get right into it. Here's Cab Calloway from 1943 and the Jumpin' Jive.
Jumping jive, Jim Jim jump the jumping jive. Cat's gonna beat out this mellow jive, beat it out on the miller side. Boy,
what you gonna say that game?
Oh boy,
what you gonna say that game?
Palomar, Shalimar, Swanee Shore. Let me dig that. Cats call.
Yeah.
Come on, boys, let's have a ball.
The jim, jim, jump to the jumping jive.
Makes you dig your jive on the miller side.
Hep, hep. Hep, hep. The jim, jim, jump to the solid jive.
Makes you 9 foot tall when you're 4 foot five.
Hep, hep. Hep, hep.
Now, don't you be that ickaroo. Get hep. Come on. Makes you like your eggs on the Jersey side.
Hep, hep. Hep, hep.
The Jim Jam jumping jive makes you hep, hep on the Miller side.
Hep, hep. Hep, hep. Hep, hep. Hep, hep.
The Jim Jam jumping hep, 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 jive will make you dig, 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 dive on the Miller side.
Hep, hep.
Don't you be that ickaroo. Get hep. Come on and follow through. Then you get your steady boo. You make a joint and jump like gators do. The jim jam jump and jump and jump makes you like your ass is on the head. The jim jam jump and jive makes you hep hep on the man inside. Going, da-da. Now told you about the jumping jive. Jim Jam jumped the jumping jive. I know you dug this mellow jive. Boom, you dig it on the mellow side.
The hidey-ho man himself, Cab Calloway, kicking things off this week on Nostalgia Radio Time. If you have any songs you'd like me to play or old-time radio shows you like featured, send your request to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And while you're online, check us out on our social media outlets on Facebook and X, formerly Twitter. And if you happen to have an interest in antique radios, looking to acquire a set for your own personal use, one that's fully restored and functional, nominee with Bluetooth capability, check out my website at radioaddict.com/Van Beek. That's all one word, V-A-N-B, two E's and a K, and you'll find some great sets available. Up next, we've got Buddy Clark and Doris Day going back to 1949. They're duetting on My Darling, My Darling.
My darling,
my darling,
I've wanted to call you my darling for many and many a day.
My darling,
I fluttered and fled like a starling. My courage just melted away. Now all at once you kissed me, and there's not a thing I'm sane enough to say, except my darling.
My darling,
get used to the name of my darling. It's here to stay.
Till a moment ago we were Mr. and Miss, discussing the weather, avoiding each other's eye.
Till a moment ago when we happened to kiss, and we kissed the Mr. and Miss goodbye. Now at last
she can sigh.
My darling,
my darling,
I've wanted to call you my darling for many and many days.
My darling,
my darling,
I've fluttered and fled like a starling. My courage just melted away. Now all at once you've kissed me,
and there's not a thing I'm sane enough to say, except my darling.
My darling,
get used to the name of my darling. It's here to
d'amour. Take this song to my lover. Shoo, shoo, little bird, go and find my love. Melody d'amour, serenade at his window. Shoo, shoo, little bird, sing my song of love. Tell him I will wait if he names the date. Tell him that I care more than I. For when we are apart, how it hurts my heart. So fly away, and say I hope and pray this lover's melody will bring him back to me. Oh, melody d'amour, take this song to my lover. Shoo, shoo, little bird, go and find my love. Melody d'amour, serenade at his window. Shoo, shoo, little bird, tell him of my love. This lover's melody will bring him back to me. Oh, melody d'amour, take this song to my lover. Shoo, shoo, little bird, go and find my love. Melody d'amour, serenade at his window. Shoo, shoo, little bird, sing my song. Please sing my song and tell him of my love.
was Edie Gourmet from her 1964 album Blame It on the Bossa Nova with Melody D'Amour. Now we've got Jimmy Durante joined by Patty Andrews going back to 1950, and he's singing about his schnoz, no doubt. It's bigger than both of us.
Love. You get my message, Miss Andrews?
Well, what are you trying to say, Mr. Durante?
It's bigger than both of us to fight it is silly.
When your heart does a nip up, be careful for you mustn't slip up.
It's bigger than both of us, our love is a dilly. It's easy to spot it when you've got it.
You're walking on a cloud, high above the crowd, feeling like a hero. You're doing loop-de-loops, suddenly it's
woo-whoops,
sailing zero.
It's bigger than both of us, so don't be defiant. Surrender to this tender giant called love.
You mean it's bigger than the state fair at Pomona?
Bigger than the whale that swallowed Jonah?
Bigger than the battle of the sexes?
Bigger than the Nile well down in Texas?
Bigger than the Dodgers?
Or Hammerstein and Rogers?
Rocky Marciano?
Or a grand piano?
It's colossal, tremendous!
Gigantic, stupendous!
It's bigger than both of us!
Zazoom, zazoom!
To fight it is silly!
Z-z-z-zoom.
When your heart doesn't nip up,
zoom.
Be careful for it mustn't slip up.
It's bigger than both of us.
V-v-v-voom.
Our love is a dilly.
Boom.
It's easy to spot it when you've got it.
I've got it. I'm walking on a cloud, high above the crowd, feeling like a hero. I'm doing loop-de-loops, suddenly it's
woo-whoops,
sailing zero.
It's bigger than both of us, so don't be defiant. Surrender to this tender giant called love.
Love, 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 love.
Do you get my message now, Snooky Ookum?
Jimmy boy, I just received it.
It's bigger than both of us.
Supposing you need a vacation, Brazil is the place you should go.
But we can't understand what they're saying, or can't read a sign we see.
You don't have to know the language,
with the moon in the sky and the girl in your arms and a look in her eyes.
You stop at the Copacabana, with Sugarloaf Mountain in view.
But the words on the menu mean nothing. We can't ask a soul what to do.
You don't have to know the language, with the moon in the sky and a girl in your arms and a look in her eyes. When she smiles your way, what more would you want anyone to say? So you sigh, just sigh.
You don't have to mention that Yankee phrase, aye, aye.
Perhaps when you end your vacation, you'll bring back a bit of Brazil.
But we can't understand what she's saying. We need an interpreter still.
You don't have to know the language,
with the moon in the sky and a girl in your arms and a look in her eyes.
You'll bring back a bit of Brazil.
So you can't understand what she's saying. You need an interpreter still. You don't have to know the language.
With the moon in the sky, a girl in your arms, a look in her eyes.
You don't have have to know the language if you don't want to say goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Tex Beneke from 1947, and the song by Burke and Van Heusen from The Road to Rio, You Don't Have to Know the Language. Now I've got Red Foley from 1949, singing about the Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy, right here on Nostalgia Radio Time.
Have you ever passed the corner of 4th and Grand, where a little ball of rhythm has a shoeshine stand? People gather round and they clap their hands. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops the boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy. He charges you a nickel just to shine one shoe. He makes the oldest kind of leather look like new. You feel as though you want to dance when he gets through. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops the boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy. It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. You ought to see him fan the air with his hoppity-hibbity-hibbity-hoppity-hoppity-hibbity-hop. He opens up a business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get them early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops the boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy. Listen, let him go. Don't that tickle you? It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. Just listen to him fan the air. Here goes. He opens up a business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get them early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops the boogie-woogie rag, Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy. The Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy.
Daddy, let me stay out late, for tomorrow is our wedding day. Can't the baby kinda celebrate? Oh, kiss the boys goodbye. Daddy, let me wear the mink. What's the difference what the neighbors think? Let the baby linger on the brink. Oh, kiss the boys goodbye. And while I'm kissing them sentimentally, keep the liberal point of view, because I'm breaking it to them gently that my heart belongs to you. Daddy, please remember this, that tomorrow starts a life of bliss. Let me show them what they're gonna miss. Kiss the boys goodbye. Tomorrow is our wedding day. can't the baby kinda celebrate? Oh, kiss the boys goodbye. Daddy, let me wear the mink. What's the difference what the neighbors think? Let the baby linger on the brink. Oh, kiss the boys goodbye. And while I'm kissing them sentimentally, keep the liberal point of view, because I'm breaking it to them gently that my heart belongs to you. Daddy, please remember this, that tomorrow starts a life of bliss. Let me show them what they're gonna miss. Oh, kiss the boys goodbye.
Motion picture and Broadway star Mary Martin from 1941 with Kiss the Boys Goodbye.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day.
And now, the man who put the popular in popular music, Bing Crosby!
Say, you heard this new tune here?
The Kraft Music Hall with Bing Crosby.
Don't tell me you're Bing Crosby!
And here's Bing Crosby.
I feel so happy, I want to shout. I'd like to tell you what it's all about. I found my one idea, and this time I'm sure it's real. Yip, yip, the hootie got me a beauty. She sure is a dream. My baby said yes, she said yes, she said yes. She didn't say no.
Cock-cock-a-doodle, you're off your noodle. You're way off the beam, cause baby said yes, she said yes, she said yes. She couldn't say no.
Knock me a daisy.
Now what would I do with a daisy all day?
Wear it and bear it.
Mm-mm. Bing, you sound crazy.
I'm happy that way. I did a little march down the middle, and now we're a team, cause baby said yes, she said yes, she said yes, yes, she couldn't say no. My baby said yes, she said yes, she said yes, didn't say no. Cock-a-doodle, off my noodle, way off the beam. My baby said yes, she said yes, she said yes, she didn't say no. Come on, Lou, knock me a daisy. That sure was a daisy. That one was hazy. I like it that way.
Hi, diddle, diddle, march down the middle, and now we're a team, cause baby said yes, she said yes, she said yes, yes. She couldn't say no, she couldn't say no, no, no.
Bing with Louis Jordan from 1944 and My Baby Said Yes. Time now for Old Time Radio Time. It's here on the show where we give a listen to a complete radio broadcast from radio's golden age. This week we're going back to May 8th of 1949 and tuning into the Amos and Andy program.
Amos, it's Sunday again.
Sunday's right, and don't forget we's on the radio every Sunday for Rinso.
And look who's here, Ken Carpenter. And he's got the biggest news in Rinso's history. Listen to him.
It's the biggest news ever. It's new 1950 Rinso with Solium, a full year ahead of time. New 1950 Rinso has three times the whiter washing action of any other soap. But more about that in a few minutes. Now, Lever Brothers Company and new 1950 Rinso bring you the Amos and Andy Show. Yes, sir. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Rinso, brings you a full half hour of entertainment with Lou Lubin, Eddie Green, Ernestine Way, the Jubilaires, Jeff Alexander's orchestra and chorus, and radio's all-time favorites, Amos and Andy. Well, last night, the Kingfish and his wife Sapphire attended a big buffet supper at the home of their wealthy friends. The Kingfish, as usual, overate and was up all night with a bad stomach. It's now the following day, and Sapphire is just entering the bedroom to see how he is.
Oh, I tell you, Sapphire, I was a sick man from that meal last night. I think I got Potomac poisoning.
Well, George, what do you think made you sick?
Well, that lobster. That's the last time I'll ever eat lobster cuspidor.
George, that ain't lobster cuspidor. It's lobster humidor.
Maybe you're right. I thought I tasted a cigar in there someplace.
George, what you talking about? They always serve the most wonderful food, and that food was excellent.
Excellent, huh? Then why did the hostess have a punch bowl filled with bicarbonate of soda? I tell you, that was the most popular dish on the table.
George, while we're on the subject of that dinner, I don't mind telling you that you disgraced yourself last night at that party.
Oh, what you talking about?
Well, George, at a buffet, you're supposed to wait your turn in line. You don't pull your chair up to the buffet table and eat right out of the bowl.
Well, I've done it in self-defense.
Why couldn't you acted like the rest of the people?
Oh, what you talking about? They was just vultures. They was eating everything in sight. I rested my hand on the table for a minute, and before I could get away, some fella poured ketchup on it. That's right.
Listen, George, I don't want to get in no argument with you if you ain't feeling well.
By the way, honey, any of my friends called up to see how I'm feeling this morning?
Of course not, George. What friends is you got?
Hey, wait a minute, George. That's a pretty big statement, you know. I got hundreds of friends. That's who I got, hundreds of them.
Don't fool yourself, George. The truth of the matter is, I don't think you got one true friend, and that's a pretty sad state of affairs.
Well, what about Andy?
You ought to be ashamed the way you treated him. And, George, one of these days, your conscience is going to start to bothering you for the way you've acted towards everybody. If I was you, George, I'd start right now trying to make a friend or two.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, have it your own way, George. What you want for breakfast?
Breakfast? Well, I think I'll have some coffee and some toast. And, oh, yeah, a lobster.
A lobster?
Yeah, I stuck one in my coat pocket last night just before I collapsed.
George!
Oh, me. What is she talking about? No friends. Maybe she's right, though. Yeah, I guess from now on I ought to start being nice to Andy. Make up to him for a lot of the things I done to him. Yeah, then I'll be his friend. Let's see, how do a friend act? He's kind, he's polite, courteous and honest in his dealings. I'm getting into a whole new field here. Come in, Brother Andy, a friend of my childhood who I crazy about. How is you?
Kingfish, what are you talking about?
Oh, nothing, Andy. Just reminding you how much I loves you and how much you loves me. Here, let me put my arm around you, boy.
Now, hold it, Kingfish. Now, just a minute. The last time you done that, when I went out of here, my gold watch was missing.
Oh, that was an accident, Andy. I remember your watch caught on one of the buttons of my vest, and I didn't discover it till I got to the pawn shop.
Well, keep away from me, Kingfish.
Well, now, look, Andy. I don't blame you for being a little suspicious. I guess I sort of took advantage of you a little in the past.
A little? Since January, you done sold me 2 gold bricks, the Brooklyn Navy Yard, and Central Park Lake, including the ducks.
Yeah, I guess I did have a pretty big year. But, Andy, that's all over with now, son. I was a changed man, and, well, I'm turning over a new leaf.
What you mean by that?
Andy, I'll prove it to you. I'm going to start paying you back what I owes you. I'm going to do a lot of restituting. And I'm going to start off by tooting you this $5 bill. There you go.
Well, you ain't been out in the sun too long or nothing, did you?
No, Andy. It's all yours. Take the $5 there.
Yeah, well, thanks, Kingfish. I'll just put this $5 in my wallet, here.
Yeah, put it in there. Naturally, Andy, you was my best friend, and I want to see, Say, Andy, when you opened that wallet to put the money in, I noticed a flash of green in there. You ain't saving four-leaf clovers, nothing like that, in the box.
Kingfish, that's $200 I done drawed out the bank. I've been figuring on buying some life insurance with it.
Got $200 in there in your pocketbook, huh?
Hey, Kingfish, what's the matter with you? Your eyes just lit up like the taillights of a Cadillac.
Take a chair, brother, and then pull your wallet up to the table here. I want to talk to you. And so you're figuring on taking out life insurance, huh? I guess you're tired of living, huh?
Why, what you mean by that?
Well, Andy, most people don't realize it, but life insurance is a tricky thing. It makes dying look so attractive, you see.
Well, how you figure?
Well, Andy, let's say that you takes out a life insurance policy that pays $5,000 when you passes on.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna be able to resist the temptation.
The temptation?
Certainly. You knows that all you got to do to become a wealthy man is to kick the bucket.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder why they don't mention that in that booklet they give you to read.
Oh, I tell you the truth, Dan. Why, in the last 20 years, life insurance has made rigor mortis more popular than gin rummy.
Well, I never looked at it quite that way. I was thinking about taking out one of them 10-year policies.
Well, now, there's another disadvantage. Say you takes a 10-year policy. You got to pay the company premiums for 10 years, don't you?
Yeah, I guess I do.
Well, suppose you die in 3 years. Andy, you'd be paying premium 7 years after you was under the ground, you see?
Yeah, that's right. That don't sound too good, no.
Oh, I'd give up the thought of insurance, Andy. You couldn't pass the medical exam no way.
I couldn't?
No, Andy, it's just like automobile insurance. If the brakes and the tires and the motor's bad, they won't give you no policy. And right now, you looks like a 1912 Essex. That's what you look like.
No,
now, Brother Andy, instead of throwing your money away on life insurance, my advice to you is to turn the $200 over to me for investments in the Stevens Holding Company. I'm going to tell you, I got something.
Oh, so that's your angle, huh? I ought to know there was something like that. Look, Kingfish, I'm getting out of here. You has gypped me for the last time. I ain't going to speak to you no more, never. Goodbye.
But wait a minute, Andy. There's appreciation for you. After I try to make friends with the boy, give him $5 out of the kindness and goodness of my heart. Then he turn on me. Lucky that $5 I give him was counterfeit. Well, so Andy and my friend, what's the difference? I don't need no friends.
Oh, yes, you do, George.
Who's that? Who said that?
Well, it's me, George. Your conscience.
My conscience? What are you bothering me about here? Wait a minute now.
George, when Andy walked out that door, you lost your last friend.
Well, so what? I don't need no friend.
George, there's a famous old saying. When you pass on and no one mourns for you, you will never rest in peace.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But there must be some of the boys that will mourn for me when I'm gone.
I don't think so, George.
Holy smokes, I got to find out. Yeah, I got to make sure that I got somebody to mourn for me. I tell you, if my funeral was a flop, I'd be brokenhearted for the rest of my life.
Stronger than a tiger, but as gentle as a lamb.
John Henry was a powerful man.
When John Henry was a little baby, just a sitting on his papa's knee. Well, he laid his hands on a little piece of steel
and said, "It's gonna be the death of me.
Lord, Lord. Gonna be the death of me.
Of me." Well, John Henry was a mighty man.
John Henry.
Henry was a mighty man.
John Henry.
Every time his hammer rung,
it made a sound like kingdom come.
John Henry was a steel-driving man. The captain told John Henry, "I'm gonna bring me a steam drill around.
Give me a 9-pound hammer with a 4-foot handle,
and I'll beat your steam drill down.
Lord, Lord,
I'll beat your steam drill down."
Listen to John Henry's hammer ringing upon the mountainside. It spits smoke every time it takes a stroke. Listen to that mighty hammer drive.
John Henry, I believe that this mountain's breaking in. But John Henry replied to the captain, "Oh my,
it ain't nothing but my hammer sucking wind.
Lord, Lord, it ain't nothing but my hammer sucking wind."
They took John Henry on the mountain, and the mountain was
drove so hard.
He drove so hard, he broke his heart.
And he laid down his hammer and he died.
Lord, Lord, laid down his hammer and he died. Now every rounder in the Sparrow Land
says, "Old John Henry was a steel driving man."
New 1950 Rinso is here, a year ahead, the greatest development in soap history. 1950 Rinso with Soleum puts sunshine in your wash. New Rinso with wonderful Soleum gets white clothes whiter than new and washable colors brighter than new.
Yes, 1950 Rinso gets white clothes whiter than new and washable colors brighter than new. My pretty summer cottons are gayer and brighter than when I first bought them.
Yes, only new Rinso contains Soleum, the scientific sunlight ingredient. 1950 Rinso has three times the whiter washing action of any other soap. And yet Rinso's so safe for clothes, so kind to your hands. Get Rinso and see how Rinso with Soleum puts sunshine in your wash. And now back to Amos and Andy.
Oh, me. That conscience got me worried, saying that I won't have no friends to mourn for me. I didn't sleep all night thinking about it. I think I'll go in Shorty's barbershop here and tell him my trouble. Hello there, Shorty. How is you?
Well, I was doggone over there. I'm a majesty. I never expected. I told you. I hi, kid face.
Say, Shorty, I didn't know you was busy. I see you got somebody in the chair there.
Oh, that's all right, Kingfish. This is my brother, Sam, that just come up from Georgia.
Oh, your brother. Yeah, well, I must say you don't look alike.
Oh, no. Nobody ever thinks that we is brothers. We is different as night and day. Sam, I'd like you to meet the Kingfish.
Yeah, well, if we met on the... Hi, Kingfish.
Well, glad to know you, Sam. Tell me, is you barbering business, too?
Oh no. Back home, I got a big job. I'm an executive with a... I got a big job with the department store. I'm a speech instructor.
Speech instructor, huh? Kind of like Shorty here with your first pupil. I tell you, Shorty, the reason I drop in to talk to you... I worried about my friends not liking me.
Oh, you is, hmm?
Yeah, say, Sam, now you ain't never met me before. Tell me, in our Shaw Association here, what did you think of me?
I can't answer that.
Yeah, Lord, you ain't forming an opinion yet, huh?
That's the trouble I have.
Now, I tell you, Shorty, this worrying about whether my friends like me or not has got me down.
Mm.
It's getting me so bad that, well, I didn't get a wink of sleep last night. Yeah, I think that, the thing I want to know is, how can I get some sleep at night?
Well, I used to have the same trouble, Kingfish. But me and Sam here, we worked out a wonderful method for curing insomnia. You remember, Sam.
Oh, sure. I remember first you took a long walk.
Yeah, that's right. Then I took a hot bath and put on some loose pajamas.
and after that, you drunk a glass of warm milk and you put a pillow on each leg.
Yeah, that's right, Sam. Then I started counting sheep. And when I counted up to 10,000 sheep, then I stopped.
Then you fell asleep, huh?
No, by then it was time to get up.
Oh, yeah. I'll say one thing, Shorty. You ain't much help to me here.
Hey, look, Shorty. I'm in a hurry. Will you please finish my haircut?
Well, like I was saying, Sam, I think it ought to be cut short because you...
No, Shorty. I want it to be long.
Now, listen, it's got to be...
No, I know, but you can't...
So long, boys. I get nervous here. That's all. This thing about not having no friends to mourn for me when I was gone is getting me down. This is the second night in the road, and I ain't been able to sleep. Oh, me. I hope that sedative the sapphire give me unlaxes me. I'm feeling a little sleepy now. If I passed on, I wonder just how the boys would act when they come back from the funeral and get together at the lodge hall. I wonder what they'd say.
Well, Fred Gwindell, the newspaper man. Come in, Fred.
Well, hello, Dan. How is you, boy? How is you? Greetings and felicitations to you.
Oh, that's great, Fred. How'd you like the Kingfisher's funeral?
Wonderful, Andy, wonderful. He had so much fun since New Year's Eve. Really had a frolic there, boy.
You know, kicking the bucket was the best thing that Kingfish ever done.
Oh, you said it, Andy, boy. You said it. Yeah, yeah. Say, didn't the old goat look natural laying there, though?
Yeah. And you know, it's certainly a pleasure being in the same room with that guy and not having to worry about your wallet. It was a short funeral service, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When the preacher got up and tried to say something nice about the Kingfish, he was really stumped all right, yeah.
That's the first time I ever seen a preacher deliver a eulogy with his fingers crossed.
Really, no, Andy, by leaving early, you done missed the funniest part of the whole thing.
Yeah, what was that?
Well, you see, they had a little trouble there. They was looking for six people who really loved the Kingfish to act as pallbearers.
Yeah, how'd they make out?
Not so good. The undertaker had to carry the box down the aisle piggyback. That's what happened. Say, Andy, you didn't even go out to the cemetery, did you?
Oh, no. I was too tired. How was the service out there, Fred?
Well, Brother Jackson, give a little talk there. It wasn't bad. The only trouble is I'd heard all the jokes before, so I... Say, it's getting late, Andy. I got to be running along here.
Oh, yeah. Got to go, huh?
Yeah, I'd love to stay and talk about the Kingfish's demise, but you know how it is. Business before pleasure, boy. Yeah.
Well, it was certainly nice for a customer thing, would you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When something nice like this happens, it's always a pleasure to discuss it, would you? So long, Andy, old boy. So long. I'll see you later, old boy. Bye.
Oh, what a dream. That was awful. Andy and Gwindell just couldn't feel that way about me. It just couldn't be true. Oh, me. That dream done tired me out more than anything. Well, I know one thing. My wife Sapphire wouldn't act that way. Yeah, and I don't think my friend Stonewall, the lawyer, would neither. Yes, if I passed on those two, would really be broken up about it.
Well, come, Sapphire. Guess she's coming back from the Kingfisher's funeral.
Happy days are here again.
Oh, that Sapphire girl, I meant to compliment you on that dress you wore at the funeral. That was a lovely shade of red. Yes, indeed. I thought, you know...
Yeah, I thought it gave me a fair little bounce. That's the reason I picked it out.
Yeah. I noticed you left the festivities early.
Well, I didn't want to stonewall, but I just had to. You see, I didn't want to be late for my rumba lesson.
Oh. Yeah, well, look, I want to express my sympathy for the whole thing, Sapphire.
Well, thank you, Stonewall. You know, now that George is gone, I wonder how he likes it way up there in the wide blue yonder.
Well, if I'm any judge of character, I think he's in the downtown branch.
Now, Stonewall.
Yeah, well, I hope you don't grieve too much about this whole thing, Sapphire. I try not to be lonely.
Oh, I can't be lonely. I've got a date tonight with the man who drove the funeral car.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, me, what a dream. My wife, too, and Stonewall. My friends just couldn't act that way. That dream was just a fig leaf of my imagination. My friends couldn't act that way. They loves me.
Oh, no, they don't, George.
Oh, Conscience, it's you again.
Yes, George, and your dream was true. None of your friends would miss you.
But, Conscience, it's all a mistake. My friends do love me, and I'm going to find some way to prove it to you.
Well, you better, George. Remember, like I told you before, every man must have friends to mourn him if he wants to rest in peace. Good night, George.
I'll show that, Conscience. I got to do something desperate. I'll get my dear trusting friends to love me if I ask to double-cross every one of them to get them to do it. That's what I'll do.
Ladies, here is something new, yes, something wonderful, an improvement that you'll say is the greatest ever in your kitchen. It's a big, gleaming, 2-quart, self-draining aluminum saucepan with a Bakelite handle. Yes, it's self-draining, and that means that you can pour away hot water from vegetables without lifting the cover, with no danger whatever of scalding your hands. This wonderful aluminum Regalware saucepan is yours for half price if you act quickly. All you do is send $1 and 2 Rinso box tops to Lever Homemakers Club, Box 27, New York 8. That's Box 27, New York 8. This offer is good only in the United States, Hawaii, and Alaska, and for a limited time. So hurry, hurry. Send $1 and 2 Rinso box tops for your self-draining aluminum saucepan right away. The address, Lever Homemakers Club, Box 27, New York 8, New York. And now, back to Amos and Andy.
Well, I hope this sympathy angle works. I'll pretend that I'm going to commit suicide and then disappear for a few days. That ought to win my friends over. Oh, here comes Andy. I'll try the suicide stuff on him first. Come in, Brother Andy.
Oh, you was in here, huh? I ain't speaking to you, Kingfish.
Well, Andy, you won't have to worry about me much longer, old pal.
What you mean by that?
Well, you remember what Shakespeare said, to be or not to be.
Yeah.
Well, I done decided not to be.
Kingfish, what is you talking about?
Andy, I found out my friends don't love me. So I was going to beat the Grim Reaper by reaping myself. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, Kingfish, you don't expect me to believe you're going to do away with yourself, do you?
Well, Andy, it just so happens that I just finished writing my suicide note. Got it right here.
Suicide note?
That's right. I was just getting ready to take it down to get it notarized to make it official. That's what I'm going to do. Well, I'll read it to you, Andy.
Yeah.
Better get out your handkerchief, because you're going to do a lot of blubbering around here. Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing this, Andy, because my friends is driving me to it.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Read the note there. Read the thing.
Okay, it starts out here, says, Dear friends and murderers, I, George Stevens, being of sound mind and about to slaughter myself, hereby says farewell. Please omit flowers, as I've always suffered from hay fever, and I ain't fooling either. Don't just kind of tear your heart out, Andy?
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
Then I close up by saying, address all replies to this note, care to County Morgue, Box 13, signed your deceased brother, George Stevens. That's what I got.
Listen, Kingfish, I don't believe none of this. You ain't gonna do away with yourself.
Oh, no? Well, I'd have done it a long time ago if I could make up my mind which way to do it. I jumped off the George Washington Bridge, only the high altitude gives me nosebleeds. Then I was thinking of sticking the exhaust pipe of automobile in my mouth, but used car prices still too high. Then the last thing I hit on was using a noose.
Listen, Kingfish, I still don't believe none of this. I know you ain't gonna jump off of no bridge or nothing like that.
All right, Andy, but just do me one favor. If you was ever fishing in the East River and you feel a heavy tug on the line, haul it in gently. You might have me by the seat of my pants, you know that?
I ain't gonna listen to this, Kingfish. I was going.
Huh. I'll show Andy I ain't kidding. I know exactly what I'll do. I'll leave for New Jersey tonight for 3-4 days and hide out till the boys come to their senses about me.
Amos, I tell you, when the Kingfish showed me that suicide note 3 days ago, I thought it was just another one of his tricks.
Oh, no, Andy, think this thing is getting serious, you know it. I ain't seen the Kingfish around for 3-4 days and ain't nobody heard from him.
Oh, he disappeared all right. I wonder if he took the lodge treasury along with him as a traveling companion.
No, no way that he can get the money out of the lodge treasury. You know, we bought him a new safe for the lodge, but he's the only one that don't know the combination, you know.
Well, you see, that suicide note...
Yeah, what did that suicide note say that he read, Andy?
Well, he say he's gonna do away with himself.
Jonah?
Yeah, he say he was figuring on jumping off the Brooklyn Bridge into a exhaust pipe or something like that.
Into an exhaust pipe?
Yeah, and with that pointed head of his, he might make it, too.
Yeah, well, that's the way he's gonna end it all, huh?
Well, he had some other ideas, something about Let's see, he was going to take a noose and hang himself by the seat of his pants.
Well, look, now, even though the Kingfish has got his faults, and we ought to do something to find him before he gets a chance to do something desperate.
Yeah, but how are we going to get hold of him?
Well, we'll offer a reward for information that will help us find the Kingfish. Mm-hmm. I know what we'll do, Andy. I'll put up $5, you put up $5, and we'll get some of the other members to chip in. Yeah. Then we'll take $200 out of the large treasury, and we'll put an ad in the newspaper offering the reward for the Kingfish's return.
Yeah, and then when we find him, we'll give him a big party and welcome him back like the profitable son.
Yeah.
Well, let me shake your hand again, Kingfish. I sure is glad we found you.
Yeah, well, it's great to be back, too, Andy. And I tell you, it really made me feel good that you and all my friends love me so much that you put up that reward to have me found.
Oh, yeah, we really missed you, all right. We were so glad when that private detective, Mr. Blake, wired us that he found you in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Blake sees you at a newspaper, and he snooped me out of the hotel where I was staying at. Yeah, I was waiting around for the high tide so I could jump in the river, you see.
No fooling, is that right?
Oh, yeah, matter of fact, when he knocked on the door, I was just putting on my bathing suit. I was going in that water hot or cold. I was going in there.
Well, we sent Mr. Blake the $300 we raised, and we was all happy to do it.
Oh, yeah, well, certainly is touching for me to know that I got so many friends in the world, Andrew. Yeah. It was a big weight off my conscience, I tell you that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're back. I'm getting on home, Kingfish. I'll see you later.
So long, Andrew, my dear old pal. Give my love to dear brothers. Oh, me, what a relief off my mind. I really found out how much my friends miss me after all.
Well, George, I guess you're very happy now.
Oh, it's you, Conscience.
Yes, George. And from the response of your friends when you disappeared, I guess it's very obvious that you have a lot of fine qualities after all.
Oh, yeah, I guess I does, all right.
And now that all your friends have shown how much they think of you, I know that you're not going to cheat them anymore.
Oh, no, Conscience, I ain't never going to cheat them.
You sure now?
Oh, certainly I sure. I don't have to cheat them. You see, that $300 I got by posing as Detective Blake gonna hold me over. Wait a minute, I didn't mean that, Conscience. Oh, wait a minute. Andy, you know how our announcer Ken Carpenter says how more women use rinse soap than any other soap in the world?
Uh-huh.
Well, listen, he's going to say it again.
Can't stop him, huh?
Well, who wants to stop him? Andy, this is the most important thing that you can tell a woman. It's new 1950 rinse soap.
Yes, it's 1950 Rinso, a year ahead, the only soap that contains Soleum. New Rinso with Soleum actually gets white clothes whiter than new and washable colors brighter than new. Yes, it's the greatest development in soap history. New 1950 Rinso with three times the whiter washing action of any other soap. Get safe, soapy rich 1950 Rinso right away.
Good night, folks.
See you next Sunday.
Be sure and be with us next Sunday at the same time when Lieber Brothers Company, the makers of new rinse and Rinsoleum, will again present the Amos and Andy Show.
Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredients, gets skin cleaner. Stops BO as no other leading soap can.
Yes, doctors proved it.
You are cleaner, safer from BO when you bathe daily with Lifebuoy. Get Lifebuoy Health Soap right away.
Be sure and listen to the Amos and Andy Show at this same time next Sunday. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Go, Joe, go!
And the old clock here up on the studio wall tells me it's time to close up shop for another week of Nostalgia Radio Time. I'm Greg Van Beek. Thank you for listening and hope you'll join me again next week for more music and memories of the greatest generation. Feel free to email me with your comments about the program, any song requests you'd like to make, or old-time radio shows you'd like to hear. Send them all to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And be sure to check us out in our social media outlets on Facebook and X, formerly Twitter. And if you'd like to get in touch with me about acquiring an antique radio, check out my website at radioaddict.com/Van Beek. That's all one word, VanB2EK. And I've got some great fully restored sets available for you, now many with Bluetooth capability. So until we meet again next week, I'm Greg Van Beek saying so long for now.